We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Knocks down the second. Knicks no timeouts, but they don't need a three. Shot clock is turned off.
A lot of times teams don't need it, Mike. They still end up taking a three.
Fournier looking for an opening. On the drive, Fournier gets inside. Shot blocked. Rebound Towns, picked up by Burks. Burks a three-pointer. Off the mark. Edwards the rebound, and the Knicks fall short. Oh, a gut-wrenching loss as the Knicks had the opportunities, but lose to the T-Wolves here at the Garden.
All right. Let's do this. Frustrating loss, second time in 2 days that I've used that word. We could sit here and we could talk about good things. We could sit here and talk about bad things. At the end of the day, this is a game they needed to win. It's a game they needed to win if they had any intention, you know, of going into this road heavy part of their schedule with any kind of momentum. And they didn't come out with the proper mindset. They didn't come out with the proper level of poise. They didn't come out with any sort of attention to detail. You know, they were sloppy. They looked like a group of guys that weren't particularly used to playing with each other, because it was a group of guys that weren't particularly used to playing with each other. Second half, obviously a lot of great things. Evan Fournier, I thought, played a great game. I thought Julius Randle played a very good game, although obviously, you know, missed free throw late doesn't help. You know, everybody had some moments you could complain about. I thought RJ Barrett played a poor game. I'm not going to pile on RJ tonight too much. You know, there's going to be all kinds of complaints. There's going to be complaints against the refs. There's going to be complaints. Why did Obi Toppin only play 9 minutes? If you sat here and watched this game and you thought that Obi Toppin was the difference between a win and a loss, I don't know what to tell you. It's a mediocre team. We've been saying it now for a couple weeks. Mediocre teams lose games like this, or bad teams lose games like this. Very frustrating. Again, it's like they had this game. They had this game. They were up by, I mean, the game turned because they came out in the third quarter like, okay, we remember that we're the better basketball team. And they played like the much, much better basketball team. They moved the ball well. They defended well. They got into the Timberwolves. They reminded the Timberwolves that they were a shitty basketball team, because I don't think the Timberwolves were particularly good. And they took control of the game, and then there was a stretch of about 4 minutes where the Knicks did not score. Starting from the 2 minute mark of the third quarter until I think they finally got a basket like 3 minutes, or they got a free throw like 3 minutes into the fourth. You got everything working for you, and then all of a sudden it just absolutely shuts down. You know, and then obviously they faltered late. There was no execution down the stretch. There was nothing good about down the stretch of this game. Would it help to have had a center in the game late? Yeah, of course it would have. But, you know, Mitchell Robinson wasn't very good. He tried guarding Towns. He failed at guarding Towns. I don't know that Taj was, you know, much better in that particular area of the game. You know, I thought you could argue that, I guess, Taj played better than the second half. It's a shitty loss. It's a shitty loss. It's a really, 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 really shitty loss. You know, and one they'll probably look back on if things don't go the way they want it to from here on in. This is a game they could have won. Should have won. Could have won, should have won. Minnesota tried to give this game away, and they did. Okay, let's get to the comments, which I'm sure are going to be nothing but positive. Huber then. I'm not an Obi Avenger, but what Tibbs is doing is incompetent, and I'm sick of it, of course. Taj, 25 minutes every night, all foul out, and he brings in Burks, LOL. I mean, you could laugh out loud. Tibbs is bringing in the guy who's been the Knicks' best player all year. Like, you guys, some of you guys, not all of you guys, some of you guys see one game, and you want to make decisions based on 40-some-odd minutes of basketball. Tom Thibodeau's a coach. He doesn't have the luxury of making a decision based on one less than one game of basketball. He has to go by a full season sample size. And a full season sample size, Alec Burks, I know he's been struggling from the field lately, but he's been doing a lot to help this team win in other ways, puts in Alec Burks because Alec Burks has been the Knicks' best player this year. So, like, to me, what would be incompetent is to put in a second-year player who, the second Obi Toppin came into this game at the end, Timberwolves would have targeted. Like, 100% would have gotten, I don't even, like, they would have had their poo-poo platter of options. Do we want to switch Karl-Anthony Towns onto Obi Toppin? Do we want to switch D'Angelo Russell onto Obi Toppin? Do we want to switch Anthony Edwards onto Obi Toppin? Who are we switching onto Obi Toppin to take advantage of Obi Toppin and draw a foul from Obi Toppin? That's what would have happened if Obi Toppin went into that game towards the end. It's a reality. I know none of you want to accept that, but that's fine. You know, everybody's pissed off after a loss, and everyone wants to blame the coach and the whole thing. Team played poorly. Team didn't execute. Didn't play with poise. You know, they brought them back. Couldn't close the deal. I know. By the way, the shot that didn't count that would have given them the lead was off of Alec Burks' fingertips. But I digress. Robert McGinley, so frustrating. This team made CYO level mistakes tonight. 100%. Turn the ball over. Yeah, how about instead of blaming Tom Thibodeau for this loss, how about we blame the 21-year-old who turned the ball over seven times and shot 6 for 16? How about that? How about you look in the mirror and you accept the fact that, you know, the guy who, again, we're all trying to put on the pedestal and be and have him make, you know, not one, not two, not three, not four, you know, all-star teams. RJ Barrett, guy played like shit tonight. He played poorly. That's why he lost the game. Seven turnovers. Give the ball to the other team twice in the last 3 minutes. And you're talking to me about Tom Thibodeau. Except the fact that RJ Barrett isn't as good as the guy on the other side of the court, Anthony Edwards. You know, that's the hard part. To accept the fact that your young prospect isn't as good as other young prospects around the league. He's going through growing pains. It's okay. He's 21 years old. He's going to be fine. He's going to get better. It's not his, you know. This season isn't his fault. But if you're looking for a reason why the Knicks lost this game, look at RJ Barrett. You know, the guy didn't play well. It's okay. It's fine. It happens. Young kid. Again, I'm not trying to cast aspersions, but at least if you want to pump the kid up, that's fine. But if you play – where are all my – hold on. I have to ask a question. Where are all my apology seekers tonight? If all of my people – who are going to be calling for me to send an apology for what I'm saying right now to RJ Barrett the next time he has a good game. If you can kindly send me a prepaid self-addressed stamp envelope or whatever the fuck I need to send those apologies in the next time RJ Barrett doesn't have seven turnovers and shoot 6 for 17. Again, not blaming him for being a 21-year-old who's still learning the game. But, you know, come on, folks. Anyway. Continuing Robert McGinley's comment. Didn't box out, didn't make free throws. Also, Tibbs' timeout management was awful in the fourth. I mean, I sure. Okay. Would it have been nice if he had a timeout left towards the end? Sure. Is that why they lost the game? No. Forgotten NYC, one of the most sickening losses of the season, inability to score down the stretch, and multiple disgusting turnovers. RJ back down to earth, back-to-back, six-plus turnovers. Again, it's not back down to earth. It's just like, this is why I wish we didn't have these people out there who would just, every time, you know, the kid farts in a certain direction, it's like, oh my God. You know, he's a 21-year-old kid. He's going to be a good player. He's coming into his own. He's going to be fine. I think it was a tough adjustment for him playing tonight with Kemba back. He was clearly looking to prove a point against Anthony Edwards. Didn't work out so well. You know, it is what it is. You know, it's just – he's 21. He's learning. You know, it's tough, though, because – a lot of teams around the league don't have to rely on 21-year-olds to win games. The Knicks do because they don't have a lot of talent. So, Michael Aaron, this sucks, but I love the playbacks. Thanks, guys. Yeah, apologies to anyone who was on the playback that I wasn't able to join for the last, like, quarter and a half. Internet issues at my house or it's issues with playback. I don't really know. Hopefully it was a one-time thing and be better next time. Kevin Danishevsky, what's going on, Kev? I know you won't like this, sorry, whatever. But I'm going to second best guess Tibbs here. From my vantage point, I don't think Burks is the right sub there. I mean, again, he's been the Knicks' best player this season. I don't know how else I could say that. He's been the Knicks' best player this season. He's been their most consistent player. He's been a guy who, like, how many times, like, I don't have the time or quite frankly the energy to go back and do this, but like, how many times have we had games where Alec Burks has not had a great game for three quarters and then comes up massively in the fourth quarter? It's happened a lot since he's come here, and during those games I get on here after the game and I say something nice about Alec Burks, and I have other people in here being like, oh, I don't know why I ever doubted Alec Burks. Well, you know you gotta not. It's okay to get caught up on the moment. I'm getting caught up on the moment because I'm fucking pissed at this loss. But, like, you know, place blame where blame is due. There was a – like, Alec Burks wasn't on the court when they didn't execute down the stretch of this game, you know? You know, it's a team loss. Like, nobody played well enough to win other than maybe Evan Fournier. And Evan Fournier had some poor shots down the stretch, bad turnover down the stretch. You know, I don't know, like, who else on the bench. You know, Quentin Grimes 1-for-3. Quickly was 1-for-2. Toppin hit a shot. Okay. Like, I don't know where the player was that you were turning to here that where it was like, oh, how's that guy not in the game? Hold on. Super chat's spazzing out on me as it often does. All right. Oh, I might have missed something. Andrew, if I missed something, let me know. Kenny Rose, team only plays well in spurts. True. Trademark of mediocre teams, oddly enough. And usually never early. No bench without Rose. I mean, they have a bench without Rose. I think the bench has played well at times, but they don't have, like, the bench is no longer their strength, especially that Burks, I think, is getting worn down. You know, the reason I wasn't too worried about it tonight is Burks only played 17 minutes, but in a lot of these games that we've been seeing Burks play a ton, you know, he definitely has been getting worn down. Derrick Rose is a game changer. Changed their season last year. Hopefully he changes their season when he comes back this year. IQ is really a 2-point, is really a two. Yeah. I mean, he's a combo guard. 9 losses coming after this week in that stretch. I mean, we'll see. I'm not out on the season or anything, but it's a bad loss. From Ryan Huang, crushing loss, but is it safe to say we might have found an identity? Attack the basket, hustle, and be aggressive. Just need to execute it for 48 minutes. I mean, I think that's been their identity all season long. It's been attacking the paint and kicking out to threes and letting guys shoot threes. They also have some guys who are comfortable taking threes off the dribble. I don't know. I to me, they don't have. See, this is the problem. And Kemba hit some massive shots tonight. Massive shots. You know, and again, I don't put the defensive blame for this season or for this game, quite frankly, on Kemba. But like, they don't have the talent to have an offensive identity. I think that's why last season was so good, is their offense, their identity was defense. And defense, you have to try hard. That's why it was an identity that worked for them. I don't think, like, the notion of having an offensive identity with such limited offensive, or let me rephrase that, such inconsistent offensive players, I think is, you know, that's harder. I will say that I think they're finding their way out of the Julius only, like, whatever area that they existed in. I think they're getting better, like, but you know, they're still not there, and they still lack offensive talent. Hush Zoo. RJ good, Ant is great. That's the difference. End of convo. I mean, I think RJ could be great. Like, I think Anthony Edwards is like one of the most gifted, physically gifted, like skilled wing players to come out of the draft in a long time. The reason why a lot of people wouldn't have taken him first had to do with, like, you know, decision making and like how much does he love the game and all that stuff. You know, RJ doesn't have those gifts. That's not RJ's fault. And I think RJ makes up for it in other ways. I think RJ is a really hard worker, despite some questions we've had about that this season. I think he is a hard worker. I think he loves the game. I think his intentions are in the right place. Like, RJ, if RJ grows to be like a better long-term prospect or better long-term player than Anthony Edwards, that wouldn't shock me, you know, because I don't know if I could trust Edwards. But like, just on a talent basis, and like tonight you saw, you know, there's different talent levels. Again, not RJ's fault. I'm not blaming him for it. Continuing with Hush's comment, this is why Mitch is so polarizing. He's so bad against stretches. Tibbs made the right choice. I mean, yeah, Mitch is a really, 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 really high-level backup center on a really good team, and he's, you know, he's the best starting center option we have. He's just, again, inconsistent, not a perfect player, gets exposed at times, can do really special things. Other nights he's going to look bad. Tonight he looked bad, and it was – you know, no shame in looking bad against Karl Anthony Towns, who again is like, that dude's just, the fact that that dude's career has been so middling with the talent he has. Like, I'd rather have anybody that we have on our team than, I shouldn't say that. I mean, I'd like Karl Anthony Towns, but like, if I was a fan of the Timberwolves, I'd be incredibly frustrated at Karl Anthony Towns because he has more talent than any center in the league, probably, and he just hasn't made the most of it. But he did tonight at times. The Neil's next door. Needed this win, but at least we've seen some glimpses of stuff. Yes, we did. My biggest takeaway for me is how much we really need to figure out the point guard position. Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, Kemba was at his best tonight when Kemba was doing Kemba things, which involves Kemba having the ball in his hands, shooting it. Like, I don't think it's an accident that RJ was easily played the worst game that he's played in, I don't know how long, very long time, when, like, Kemba's back in the lineup. And I'm not even saying it, like, it diminished RJ's possessions, but RJ knew when Kemba was out, like, he had, like, the runway. There was no end to the runway. The runway just went on into the horizon. Like, that's a really great feeling if you're RJ Barrett to know, like, fuck, we don't have any point guards. Alec Burks is my starting point guard. Like, Julius Randle is willingly being like, here, kid, go get it. RJ Barrett could fuck around and do whatever he wants. Like, I have to think that mentality going into those games helped him a lot. And now tonight, Kemba was back. So it's like RJ is like, all right, I got Kemba here, I got Julius here. I think it had to fuck with him a little bit, because it can't be a coincidence that he played so poorly tonight, you know. And again, who do I blame? Am I blaming RJ? Not really. Am I blaming Kemba? Not really. Am I blaming Tibbs for putting Kemba back in the lineup? I mean, it's just, it's not a great situation. And these are tough conversations to have about imperfect players. It's just real frustrating that, again, they were so, despite all of the issues, they were so close to a win tonight and they couldn't get it. I don't know what the answer to the point guard position is. I don't know if they find it this year. Guy Huber then, Burks had literally nothing tonight, literally. I mean, again, I don't know how we're supposed to judge. The guy didn't he take two shots? Took three shots. Didn't get to the line. He had four rebounds. Couple of turnovers. Like, no, Burks did not have a good game. But you're making a decision about who should be in the game at the end of the game based on this game. And I'm saying the head coach makes his decisions based on the prior 44 games and the season that he just witnessed before this season, in which Alec Burks was pretty good. Like, you can't, you know, you got to trust your – I know, by the way, he only put Burks in because Taj Gibson fouled out. Again, I don't blame him for trusting Burks there. Not one bit.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Dan Hidalgo, 18 turnovers, blown fast breaks, yes, 50-50 balls. It was a game of almost. Yeah, the turnovers, again, were just – it's just – it's really tough. And, again, RJ will be – RJ had seven of them. He's going to be better. It's part of the growth process, part of the learning curve. It's a good investment of their time to continue giving him opportunities to learn. Some nights it's not going to work out. Tonight it didn't. It's annoying. WG. The bench has been horrible. Teams are game planning and trapping IQ up high. Knowing he struggles to run an offense, the game was lost in the beginning of the fourth quarter. IQ struggled running the show. They need Derrick Rose back. I don't want to say the bench has been horrible, but they haven't been the difference. I mean, we're used to having the best bench in the league, and we don't anymore. They've struggled for sure. Pro Gills, thank you for your contribution. We appreciate it. Jared Mocker. I'm fine with this team being sellers at the deadline if the right deal isn't there. This team doesn't seem competitive. I mean, they're competitive. They're a game under 500. I mean, competitive for what, I guess, is the question. Are they competitive to, like, win a playoff series? Probably not. No. Not as currently constituted, at least. But they're competitive. I mean, they were competitive tonight. They were down by 10. at halftime, came out, a lot of fight, took a 9-point lead. Like, that's competitive. They're not going to be sellers at the deadline. Like, they're not going to be sellers at the deadline. So, should they be? I don't know. There's a philosophical argument there that I'm not really willing to engage in at this point in time. If you want to say that they should sell at the deadline, I'm not going to tell you you're wrong. I will tell you that they're not going to, barring something insane happening. But like, if you're the Knicks, you just came off your first play or one of your, you know, yeah, your first playoff appearance in like 8 years. You have a chance to make the play-in again. And if you win a couple play-in games, or if you're in the 7-8 seed, you know, one playoff game, you go back to the playoffs. That's two playoff appearances in a row. You know, around these parts, that's pretty notable. And plus, like, what, you know, what are they getting if they sell at the deadline? Abe. So we're going to ignore RJ's two turnovers and missed free throws. I love the kid, but come on, RJ, cough up this one. Yeah, again, I'm not ignoring them. I'm not going to harp on them. He is a young player making the mistakes that a young player is. My only polite request on RJ Barrett is that, again, like, let's just let him be what he's going to be. Not put him in the Hall of Fame. Not bury him as a bust. He's somewhere in between. That's all. He's going to be fine. He's a good player. He had a bad game. But if you're asking me who deserves the most blame for the loss, yeah, it's RJ. You know, it's unfortunate, but it happens. Haitian Ferg. Enough with the Obi talk. The bench was trash today. No defense, no offense. We didn't lose due to a lack of Obi. We lost this game in the first half. RJ killed us tonight. Tibbs made adjustments and put us in a position to win. Adjustments. The thing you make at halftime. The thing that sends a team from being down 10 to up 9 in the span of 8 minutes. 9 minutes. But we don't want to talk about that, right? No, I don't. It's not fun to praise Tibbs. It's not fun. So, yeah, I mean, did they lose the game in the first half? I mean, I'll play devil's advocate and say, like, here's what I'll say. They should have lost the game in the first half. If they were playing most teams in the NBA and, like, a team that was, like, on their, you know, on their toes, they would have been down by 20 or 25 in the first half, and the game probably would have been over. But they weren't. They were only down 10, and then they came back and they went up by 9 and had everything going. And, like, I don't want to say anything bad about Taj, but, like, Taj had that putback where he, for some, and I think Randall threw it up and, like, he missed it. So they had a chance to go up 11 points and it looked like everything was going their way and it missed. And I was like, oh my God, I hope that doesn't come back to bite us in the ass. And it kind of came back to bite us in the ass. So that's frustrating. Yeah, they had to put this game away. The game was there for them to put away, but they didn't. Brian Benjamin, we should rein in RJ a bit. The loss isn't on the coach. I mean, reigning in RJ, the most important thing this organization could do is help RJ become a better player. I don't know, is there a little bit of like less is more at some point? Like, do you just let him go out there and, you know, make the mistakes and let the chips fall where they may? I don't know the right answer to that. I don't think anybody knows for sure the right answer to that. But yeah, I mean, if you're watching this game and you're like, I really wish we wouldn't have let, you know, those turnovers happen. I get it. That's fine. I just, you know, I'm, if there's one guy that I'm cool with, like, learning on the fly, it's RJ. And again, obviously, I say this as someone who is not like some kind of crazy RJ fan here. But I think he's good. And he's worth a ton. Charm City Knicks fan, pretty simple. No bench tonight. Is that the very least thing we could try to shore up at the deadline. Also hit your free throws at home. Shout out to Jack Bailey. Yeah, I mean, if you just want to go down the litany of reasons why they lost this game, 18 turnovers, that's a thing that happened. 9 missed free throws. You know, people are going to – here's the thing, and, like, I'm glad – maybe it's in the regular chat and I just haven't seen it. I'm happy people aren't going too crazy about the missed Randall free throw. Randall got to the line 11 times tonight. He was 9 of 11. He almost had a triple-double. I thought he played, for the most part, really well. It sucks that he missed that free throw. He's not a good free throw shooter when the pressure is on. I don't think there's any denying that. But, like, you know, RJ 3 for 6 from the line. Kemba missed 2 free throws, although you could kind of forgive that because he's been out for a while. Quickly missed another free throw, although he's allowed. Yeah, it's just – yeah. They also shot 31% from 3. Yeah, just frustrating fucking loss. Thanks, Kenneth Escalona. Appreciate the contribution, my man. Lunas and Marat. Most painful loss of the season. Wow. Most painful loss of the season. Is this the most painful loss of the season? I don't know. I don't know. Different people experience different pain or pain in different ways. Like, I think if you were like, the most painful loss of the season was the game against Denver where they weren't even close because they didn't show up. Like, that to me was pretty painful because it sparked memories of a lot of Knicks teams that came out and, like, just didn't give a shit. That was pretty painful. The Washington game where Kemba scored 44 and we still Kemba scored 44 and we still lost was pretty painful. This is up there, though. This is up there with most painful losses. It might be – yeah, I mean, the Brooklyn loss was not – well, they played well in the Brooklyn loss. Yeah, this – you know what? You might have it. This might be the most painful loss of the season. Congratulations, Lunas. RJ broke my heart. These will happen to 21-year-olds taking on more playmaking duties for the first time, but the hate tonight is deserved. Again, it's not hate. It's just like – let's just, I mean, everybody's frustrated. We're all frustrated. Worst loss of the season, second worst loss of the season, whatever your number is. Like, it sucks. And it's just about, like, kind of calmly and rationally identifying the reasons why they lost, as opposed to, like, getting crazy and just going with the same shit that we always say. Anthony Six, though. What's going on, Anthony? Touch fouls, baited fouls, no call on the Fournier turnover, no call on RJ being shoved off a steal. I 100%. The refereeing was bad again. So brutal stretch of officiating in the end, especially for a home game. Had chances, but should have had more. Yeah, I mean, it's always tough to like talk about the refereeing in a game where the team clearly left a lot out on the court. I guess would be one way to put it. But was the refereeing good tonight? No, it was not good. They shouldn't have needed the refs to get them over the finish line, I guess. Matt from Australia, our friend down under, what's going on? Got up at 4:30 a.m., flew interstate and met up with at Wheeze 88. We were screaming our lungs out at a pub in Sydney, which is not the capital of Australia, by the way. Need a W against the Pelicans badly. Well, I'm happy you were showing your support. I'm sorry they couldn't pull it out for you. Yeah, they need a win against the Pelicans. My God. If they start off this fucking homestand 0-3. This win would have made the Hornets game like semi acceptable if they had come back and won this tonight. It's frustrating. Jason M, the same people who want The offense to run through RJ are blaming Tibbs for the loss. Tibbs made defensive adjustments that worked in the second half. Yeah, and if they didn't have their centers foul out, maybe it's a different game. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, good comment, Jason. Keith Knighton, I've asked this question before. Sorry, I'll ask it again. At what point does this season get away from you before you make a move? Come on. Look, I'm all for bringing in Jalen Brunson I don't know who on the trade market. Like, here's the problem. So there's a couple problems. One, there's not a lot of guys out there on the trade market. Like, we've talked about the couple of guys that are out there. Miles Turner just went down with an injury. Jeremy Grant makes no sense for this team. Eric Gordon, the Rockets want a first-round pick for a guy that is whatever he is, 34 years old, and is not going to be part of your future. And as the Knicks, you are not in a position to be making a win-now trade that doesn't also potentially have benefits down the line. Who am I forget? Like, do you want – like, you could probably go get Robert Covington or Yusuf Nurkic from the Blazers. Are either of those guys changing your life? I don't think so. There's just not a lot of moves out there other than, the guys that we always wind up talking about. Jalen Brunson, De'Aaron Fox. Okay, so De'Aaron Fox has had a terrible year. I think he's really good. I think he's a buy low candidate. Like, the Kings aren't going to give him away. And then Brunson, like, everybody's concocting Brunson deals. Like, I keep going back to it. Dallas is going to have to be willing to get worse this season if they want to make a Jalen Brunson deal. Are we sure that the Mavs are willing to be worse? Forget about the fact that they may actually go into the tax and, like, keep Brunson next year, which we don't know for certain if that's going to be the case or not. But, like, they're definitely going to have to get worse this year if they trade Brunson, because nothing the Knicks are going to be willing to send back is going to make the Mavs improve. So I don't know that, like, that deal is out there. I don't know what deal – like, the Knicks have a bunch of pretty good basketball players. They just haven't really figured out how to play well with each other when they've all been healthy. I think rather than make a move that is not the right move to make, just get your basketball players that you have here now on the same page, playing well with one another. Hasn't happened yet. Maybe it will. Thanks, everybody, by the way, in the chat and in the super chat, and everybody who hit their like button. And you guys are awesome. Appreciate it. Sorry, I'm like a little feisty tonight. It's just I'm so fucking frustrated after that loss. You have no idea. I mean, you do have an idea because you're all frustrated too. James Choi, Andrew, if I missed something, let me know. James Choi, agree with you 100%. Is a mediocre team, especially without Rose. RJ had a terrible game, and he'd tell you the same thing. He's learning. I think so. He's usually pretty honest about – he's a good assessor of his own game. Can't put this loss on any one person, especially not Tibbs. Yeah, it's not on any one person. It's about seven. Okay. Andrew, let me know. Put anything I missed in the pinned tweets. This is from Jeremy E. Your RJ Barrett hate is completely overreactionary. When he puts up 30 on Thursday, you will look foolish. Okay. Again, it's not hate. It's just calling it like it is. I don't hate him. I think he's going to be really good. And I think he has times where he's really good right now. He wasn't very good tonight. And the notion that we need to look for boogeymen to blame for a loss that was like, if you're going to say one person is to blame more for the loss than anybody else, let's at least be honest about who that person is. Doesn't mean he's a bad player. Doesn't mean anybody hates him. Doesn't mean any of those things. And again, it was a team loss. It wasn't like everybody else played great and RJ played terribly. It was a team loss. Danny Gardner, tough game. RJ's going to have these nights when you run through him. That's a good thing. Devin Booker the first few years. Yeah, for sure. Devin Booker was pretty lethal shooter, though. Also, how did the refs not call a push on that deflection with what else they called? Yeah, the deflection, I think, when RJ had it at his fingertips and, you know, they missed that call. Should have never come down to that. But, yeah, they missed it there for 100%. This from Ryan. How about we blame this loss on the missed free throws down the stretch by RJ and especially Julius, who seems to always miss important free throws in close games? Yes, Julius is, again, atrocious at free throws in close games. He's not good at them. I'm fine with any and all criticism that generates from that. I just, you know, we should also acknowledge that he had a pretty good game. So, yeah. JS, tough loss, some takeaways. Mitch's screens suck. Yes, they do. Mitch's screens are not good. They've never been good. I doubt they ever will be good. Yet another reason why on a really, really good team, he's probably your backup center. And if he's your starting center, you're probably never going to be a great team. IQ stops his dribble too early. Yeah, I mean, I think his handle just isn't where it needs to be yet. I trust him that I think he'll get there. RJ has no dribble to separate. This is, I mean, it's a thing he needs to work on. You can play RJ a certain way that makes life very difficult for him. And you could jam him up and you could force him to take bad shots. Yeah. We need a stretch five and Rose back soon. Yeah, we definitely need Rose back. Do they need a stretch five? I don't know if they need a stretch five. Would they like a stretch five? Sure. Every team would like a stretch five. I don't know if they need one. This comment is from Greg Film Stuff. Randall played great, minus the free throws, and fans chanting for Obi when Jules is at the line is ridiculous. I fucking hated that. I hated that. I hated, like, it's not good for anybody. It's not good for the team. It's not good for Julius. Like, it's not helping them win the game. It's, and you know who else it's not good for? It's not good for Obi. Like, what do you continuing this comment, not saying Cam is a savior, but his length on defense could have helped tonight on the perimeter. Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, if Cam is his best self on defense, he's definitely going to help them, especially if he could knock down a corner three. And, you know, quietly, this team has started to not make threes at a consistent enough rate. Like, Cam from the corner has been great all year. Sure, I think he could have helped them tonight. Absolutely. CT Pittman, what's going on, CT? Always a pleasure. You are a Jedi Master at basketball, Macri. I'm really not. Help me understand why quickly goes in the paint and stops and then is looking for someone to pass to. Happens almost every game. I just don't think he's confident that he can get a shot up without getting a block, would be my guess, my best guess. There's a reason why he's taken, like, you know, 18 shots at the rim in a year and a half. Like, he's like, even the shots at the rim that he takes, if you notice, it's usually like high off the backboard. And I don't think that's, I think that's quickly just kind of being aware of his physical limitations and that he can't, like, he's not a guy that gets up that high. He's not a guy that he doesn't, like, he clearly has dribble moves where he can get where he wants around the court. But in terms of, like, faking guys out down low and like hesitation moves or like pump fakes or anything like that, like, that's not, that doesn't seem to be a part of his game right now. So I think it's more just him understanding his limitations. Does it hurt them? Yeah, I mean, it hurts them. There's a reason why, like, just to use another recent example, there's a reason why Deuce McBride fell to 30-something in the draft. Like, that dude seems like he has so many great qualities as a guard. A big knock on him is he doesn't get all the way to the paint. He doesn't get all the way to the rim. And if you're a guard and you don't get all the way to the rim, that's a limitation. I hope that answered your question. We have another comment here from Hannibal Miles. What's going on, Hannibal? Hannibal has a positive. God bless Hannibal. I kind of like the three-point guard rotation. I guess you mean Kemba, Burks, and Quickly. Although I'd rather see it with Kemba, Rose, and Quickly and move back Burks back to the two or the three. Yeah, I would much rather see Burks at the two or the three. Juice confidence was another positive. Yeah. They need Julius Randle to be the best version of himself. It's the singular overriding theme of this season. If Julius is not the best version of himself, they are not going to do very well. And he found himself a little bit there. So that's a positive. And yeah, Kemba, Rose, and Quickly, I just like Quickly playing alongside Rose. And I like Rose being back. Negative, Jew got a foul call when he wasn't fouled. Jew got a foul call when he wasn't fouled. Oh, okay. That's fair. Okay. Moving along. Trizzy H. What's going on, Trizzy? People blaming Tibbs, but we missed 9 free throws. LOL, shake my head. People are going to blame. Got to blame someone, right? Jeremy E. You walked the RJ talk back since my comment. Yeah. I'm very frustrated with this loss. I'm still frustrated with this loss. I've been talking about it for 45 minutes. Andrew, let me know who this is from. Oh, we got Shamik Gayan. I hope that's pronounced correctly. Man, it would have been nice to have Rose in this game when Kemba was sitting and down the stretch. Would have avoided a lot of those end of game turnovers. Like, I'm not saying that, like, put up tips for coach of the year, but like, since Derrick Rose got here, Derrick Rose was the Knicks' best player. Derrick Rose went out with an injury, and the Knicks have, albeit barely, and against some pretty poor competition, stayed above water without Derrick Rose. I understand, yes, ostensibly Julius Randle is their best player. In actuality, it was more Derrick Rose. And they miss him desperately. I just hope he looks like himself when he's back. I am still excited to see this team when it's whole again, even though I'm sure there's going to be rotation stuff that we're going to be frustrated by. There's that word again. But they need Derrick Rose. Yeah, 100%. Forgotten NYC. These are the losses that drive me nuts. Join the club. Looked like neither team wanted to win, but of course the Knicks come out with a loss. Yeah, that's well put. That's well said. Goodness gracious. Okay. Bricks Nation. Thank you, Bricks. Get them likes up for your boys, J-Mag and Andrew. Yes, we appreciate any and all likes, any and all support. We appreciate all the chats. We appreciate all the super chats. We appreciate just everybody here watching. We appreciate everybody listening on their podcast tomorrow. We appreciate all of you guys. Shaq Gunn. Not Tibbs' fault besides OKC, Orlando, Detroit. Our two best starters are worse than every other team. Oh, I see. Besides OKC, Orlando, and Detroit, our two best starters are worse than every other team. How do people expect Tibbs to win? We aren't Boston. I mean, I think this is why Tibbs won Coach of the Year last year. Because if you look at last year, if you would have asked anybody before last season, rank the Knicks' best player against every other team's best player, first of all, you would have gotten a lot of people who were like, who is the Knicks' best player? Is it Julius Randle? I guess so. And they would have ranked him, 25th, 26th, 27th. And if you would have asked people to do the same thing with the Knicks' second-best player, again, ostensibly R.J. Barrett, before last season and even before this season, people would have been like, yeah, that's like a guy who's – a lot of teams have better number twos than him. You know, that said, the Knicks are deep. They have talent. I think they had enough talent to win tonight. They didn't win. Did Tibbs coach a great game? No, because they didn't win. And if he had coached a great game, they probably would have won. But is this on him? No, it's not on him. Asfand Yar Janjua. Do you think this pushes the front office to make more moves by the deadline? This is Mello from Toronto. Oh, Mello from Toronto. What's going on, man? Thanks for joining the Super Chat again. Sorry I couldn't be there till the end or at the end. I blame all technology. Do I think this pushes the front office to make more moves before the deadline? No, because I don't think this is a reactionary front office. I think the front office will make moves that are in the best interest of the long-term health of the franchise. I do think the front office, or at least some members of the front office, believe that it is in the long-term health of the franchise to make the playoffs this year, or make the play-in and hopefully, you know, do something when they get there, but not at the expense of future success. So I think the front office is going to continue to be rather measured in their approach. If you ask me to bet right now, I would bet that they make another move. It would not shock me if they didn't. It would surprise me if they didn't make another move. I do not think they would be sellers. Richard Bornvenek, what's going on, Richard? Sometimes the inherent gradual nature of improvement is maddening. Richard, always with the wise words. Thank you, Richard. Tonight was such a night for our Knicks. Player growth is not a linear vector. Man, we got vector into the chat here. There are pauses in growth rate, patience. Yeah, it's Richard, you're a wise man. I try to have patience in here. I'm not always very good at it. I agree growth is not linear. It's just really frustrating when it's right there for you. It's right there for you. And you can't grab it. Especially since they grabbed it so often last season. But not tonight. Rob Thalusma. What's up, JM? Hope it's all groovy. I don't know if it's all groovy. I don't know what adjective I would use. It's not groovy, though. So what about Deuce? We talk about needing a point guard. I wish Tibbs would put him in more. I don't think Tibbs trusts him. I think Tibbs, whether he's making too much of them or not, I think he saw some limitations. Would I be upset if we saw more of Deuce? Absolutely not. But again, it's like, was Deuce being in there going to win them this game? I don't know. I don't know that I could say that. You don't know, 2G. I don't get why Tibbs didn't challenge that flop call from Beverly that took Taj out. That's a fair call. I'll be honest with you. I've not memorized the challenge rules. I do know that there are certain calls that you can't challenge. Whether something was a, like, you could definitely challenge a block charge discrepancy. Can you challenge a flop? I guess maybe, probably. I'm trying to think outside the box here. Did it seem worthy of a challenge? Yeah, for sure. But at the same time, again, this speaks to the earlier comment about Tibbs blew it because he used too many timeouts. Like, if you lost the challenge, you would have lost a timeout. Running low on timeouts, maybe you didn't feel like it was worth it there. Parrish Duggar. Oh, here we go. Andrew just texted me. You can challenge it if it was a foul, and then it's up to the ref to say whether his own judgment was wrong. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know with the timeout situation there if it was worth it. Parrish Duggar, look, man, blaming Randall tonight is ridiculous. RJ Burks, Taj, Mitch, quickly, nothing. Zero. You have to push back on this Randall crap, Jonathan. I the only reason I haven't pushed back on the Randall stuff is because I haven't seen it in the Super Chat. And I, again, God bless everybody in here. Thank you so much for all your contributions. Most of the time, the only comments I get to see are the Super Chats because I'm just trying to get them all read and get out of here in under an hour so I can go attempt to write a newsletter about this game. If there's been people killing Randall in the chat, I said it before, I'll say it once again. I don't like, look, there are games to get on Randall. Tonight's not one of them. The dude hit a bunch of big shots, got to the line, blocked four shots, I think, right? Didn't Randall block four shots? Maybe I'm imagining that. No, he blocked four shots, 9 assists to 3 turnovers. Guy was a plus 9 on the night, played 39 minutes. He was a plus 9. Like, you know, that's as good a game as you should expect from Julius Randle. Not saying that's the best he could play, but that's like, you can't. Oh, and 2 steals too, by the way. Good comment, Parrish. Andrew's asking me to plead one more time for some likes. If we could get up over 200 likes, we'd appreciate it, even though nobody likes anything about tonight, because tonight sucks. This is Mello from Toronto again. Do you think Cam is closer to playing? I mean, God, I have just no idea. I have no idea. I'd be guessing. I don't know. I mean, I have, the Knicks have not said anything about his injury. I haven't heard anything. I think they'll be cautious. I think right now the Knicks, like, Tibbs said, I think for a reason, that Cam was going to be out for a while. So Derrick Rose is 2 weeks away from playing basketball, 3 weeks away from playing basketball, something in that range. So they have that wiggle room. But, like, so Cam's healthy to play. I said this the other day. I don't think he's taking Grimes' place in the rotation. He's taking Obi's place. This is what gets me thinking that they probably will make a trade. I don't know. They're not going to make a trade just to make a trade. There has to be a trade that they like. I just don't know that there's going to be a trade that they like. So I don't know. But to answer your question, I have no idea. Jessica, what's going on, Jessica? How are you? Always a pleasure. Was a rough one. So many turnovers. I think Tibbs is doing his best with what he has. I agree. I miss Rose. I agree. Hopefully we get above 500 again before the Cavs. Let's go Knicks. Yeah, I mean, if they win the next two games, they're back above 500. They should win the next two games. They should have won this fucking game. God, so frustrating. Such a frustrating fucking game. This team. Okay. Got a couple more, then we're going to get out of here. Making sure I don't miss anything. Again, thank you for everybody who came, for everybody who's watching. CT Pittman back for more. Thank you, CT. In your opinion, what is our biggest offensive weakness and defensive weakness? And what would be your remedy for each? I mean, I don't know how. I think our biggest offensive weakness is they don't have an elite shot creator. I mean, is that the easy way out? I guess that's probably the easy way out. Like, teams that have an elite shot creator, everything they do is a domino effect from the elite shot creator, because the elite shot creator makes enough shots to keep you honest and, like, draws enough attention that in a perfect world, they're making the right passes. Like, when you have that guy, it changes everything. And Julius Randle was like a commensurate version of that guy last season. He's just not that version this year. I'm trying to think if I could give like another answer. No, I think, I mean, I think, and they just, they, you know, there's not a lot of, like, they're, you could argue that, like, Evan Fournier is their second best skill guy on offense after Randle. So there's just, like, by that logic, you could say they don't have enough high skill offensive players on offense. Like, they don't have any transcendent offense. Like, it's just, yeah, not enough skill. And then on defense, their biggest weakness, I don't think the closeouts have been as hard this year. Just like kind of that extra edge has been missing. But, you know, to not over helping, but like helping and not really like when you help, like you have to make such a great effort to make sure that your help is not a domino in a chain to something bad. And like that extra effort hasn't been there this year. Or it's like, if it's not help, it's like giving guys too much space. You know, it's like that stuff. The remedy for each would be just get a star on offense, on defense. I don't know. Lock it in more. I don't know. I wish I knew. Lunas Amirat, with house money on it, what seed do the Knicks finish? With house money on it. I want to go 9 or 10. Let's go with 10. Jonas Plout, at this rate, if you did playback for every game, Fournier would break Kareem's record and Steph's record. LMFAO. Yeah, Fournier is pretty good on playback. He knows when to pick him. We're going to do a playback early next week too. Because again, tonight was kind of a dud. Dom the Dentist, root canals for everyone after that loss. Amen to that. I love this bit. Dom the Dentist. Thank you. And one more from Dom the Dentist. And boy, what a difference a week makes. Funeral vibes, right? Right? It's not even a week. It's a couple of days. It's just 2 days. And we were flying so high. Flying so high. And then back down there. That's baseball, Susan. Lots of whiskeys in the chat, it seems like. And Kevin Danishevsky, I think this is probably going to close us out unless, Andrew, you tell me there's anything else. Get out of here right about the hour. By the way, I wasn't upset per se when they went with Burks, although I disagreed. But you know how much I love Grimes, and I like the relative hot hand there. Yeah, I mean, if he brought in Grimes, I wouldn't have minded that. But he didn't. Okay. Thank you for tuning in. Tough loss, but misery loves company. Yes, it does. Thanks for getting us up over 200 likes. Yeah, I'm going to shout this out. Very, 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 very special KFS podcast featuring Chris Herring, author of Blood in the Garden, The Flagrant History of the 1990s New York Knicks. Just an absolutely phenomenal book. I had the pleasure of speaking with Chris for almost an hour and a half earlier tonight. It was one of my favorite conversations I've had since becoming the host of this podcast, since starting this podcast, I guess. Check that episode out. I think Andrew meant to write that it drops tomorrow night at midnight. But yeah, great episode with Chris. And more importantly, get Blood in the Garden if you have not already done so. It's a phenomenal book. It'll be instantly one of your favorite basketball books. And honestly, it'll be instantly one of your favorite books, period. It's that good. He's that good. Okay. That's it. Thanks everybody for checking us out. I'm sorry. This team is so goddamn frustrating. I hope you have a good day tomorrow.